Hello and welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on Hawkeye. I am Noah, and I am here with my co-host,
Kayla.
This is our first episode of the new year. This is our third. Wait, we started it in 2019. So technically our fourth year that we've podcasted, right? Am I doing the math? Yeah, 2019, 2020, 21, and 22.
Sure.
This is in our fourth year. So even though it hasn't been 4 years, this is the fourth year.
Yeah, it's been
coming up on three.
Three total years. Almost three total
years. Yeah, coming up, it will be three, but technically this is the fourth of the years. So
yeah,
pretty
sure. Okay.
Wild. wild times. How has your, we're only 2 days into the new year. So how was like your holiday?
Good. You know, it wasn't super exciting. We stayed in because of
like
COVID.
Responsible people. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. We just stayed at our house. We watched some movies. Mm. We watched Home Alone on Christmas Eve. And we watched.
But you weren't home alone though, which was nice.
No, yeah.
I've never watched that movie Home Alone. That was interesting thing. Yeah.
Watching it alone at home.
Alone at home, not on a plane or, not.
Yeah,
private
we always
jet.
Do it
anyway.
As a family affair. And then let's see, we watched A Christmas Story on Christmas morning, which I have personally made a tradition in our household. Meaning, I wake up and put on A Christmas Story, and then other people might watch it.
That's usually how they go.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else. Just mostly sitting around, watching shows, watching
Yuletide
movies,
cheer,
eating lots
festivities.
Of cookies.
Yeah, I definitely need to not eat as much sugar right now, because that definitely was not great. But
it's putting
fine.
Me over the edge for sure. But
I don't know. I feel like sometimes it's like a December 24th breakdown almost. Where that's when the 25th you get another little kick, and then after the 25th it's like a slow downhill till now, which now
sure.
I'm feeling pretty good, but especially like the 1st of January, never a good day for me.
Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
You know, I try not to make New Year's resolutions because I try not to set myself up for failure. You know, as the great Zendaya once said, if you don't set yourself up for something about not being disappointed, right? In Spider-Man, she said that.
Yeah, that's a good outlook for 2022. I don't think I've ever actually completed a New Year's resolution in my entire life. So yeah. I said, not this year. So I have absolutely no goals, no expected achievements, no plans. Yeah. Just trying to make it through the year. That is my only plan.
Third year of COVID, we don't need expectations anymore. The only expectation is to not die. And that's a good one, I think, that I'm going to try to keep. And I don't need to set any more expectations on the year. But before we jump into this episode, which usually we like to start our year off with our last year review, then looking ahead to the new year, this is obviously a pretty quick turnaround for this year. So we wanted to make sure we could deliver a good episode, a good 2021 look back retrospective. And so that will be next Tuesday's episode. So this Tuesday is kind of like a bridging the gap, or bridging the gap by shooting an arrow across the gap and ziplining across it into the new year. Because this is a review of Hawkeye, the Disney Plus series. So that's what we'll be talking about today. But before we get into that, let's get into our questions from last week, our question of the week, or I guess 2 weeks ago, because that's when that episode came out, which we asked you guys what your favorite Spider-Man movie was. And we pretty much got the answers that I think I would expect. All the answers I would expect from this question.
Mm-hmm. So we have our good friend Zach Smith Michaels said that Into the Spider-Verse is the best, but his favorite is Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, that's a good difference, because there's a difference between the best and your favorite, you know?
Yeah.
So that's good. Yeah.
And then also jumping on the Spider-Man 2 train, our good friend Chenzi, friend Dan, and Detox with P_draws.
Yeah, Detox coming in with the Spider-Man 2 love, and I love to see it.
Love to see it, yep. And then, of course, Bryce and Carly both said No Way Home.
Wow. Can you imagine two podcast hosts both agreeing on No Way Home?
Never.
Can't imagine it. No, I didn't. I liked it. But yeah, both slit. And you know what's funny? They both wrote it No Way Home! Exclamation point at the end. So yeah. They're both very enthusiastic
in sync,
about No Way
enthusiastic.
Home.
They loved it. We love to see that.
Love to see two podcast hosts in sync with each other. So yeah. And I think that's pretty much what I've been seeing. Everyone's been sharing their ranking online. And it's usually Spider-Man 2 or No Way Home. And then Spider-Verse.
Yeah, or Spider-Verse.
Yeah. So pretty much what you would expect. What's your second favorite Spider-Man?
So Spider-Verse had previously been my number one.
Okay.
So then No Way Home is now my number one. And then I believe Amazing Spider-Man is the next on my list.
Wow. And then Spider-Verse would be 3 then?
No, Spider-Verse is 2.
Okay, so your top 3 then are all from 3 different places, like universes.
Uh-huh, cool. And then my next one is Spider-Man, the Tobey Maguire.
The first one, right, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So very it's interesting. All 4 of my all top 4 are
the top,
all different.
The top 4.
It's hard, though, I love the Spider-Man movies, yeah. So
It's so hard to rank them.
Yeah, like there's just no...
Only
they're so different.
One I don't like, yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone was giving me flack online, and they were like, how could you put this one at number 7? I'm like, I like it. It's just something has to go at number 7 for there to be a ranking. That's how rankings work.
I mean, like, yeah. So Far From Home is my number 7, and I gave that one 4 stars, I think. So it's
Spider-Man just... All the Spider-Man just win after win.
Yeah.
You know? Except for Amazing Spider-Man 2 is not a win for me, but... It's fine.
Yeah, it's
they can't all
be
right.
Wins. It's not great.
They can't all be wins. I'm sure someone said that at some point. So let's jump in then to our review of Hawkeye, which is another Marvel property. Us being the most hypocritical people in the world in all of our Marvel episodes, talking about how Marvel is ruining Hollywood.
God, Marvel. We have Marvel fatigue. And then it's like, all right, we're prepping for the new Marvel episode.
I mean,
we've reviewed pretty much almost every single Marvel property that came out this year.
We
didn't review What If or Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah. So not everything.
But almost everything. It was a lot.
You know, the people need a dissenting voice, and I think that I am willing to help provide that dissenting voice. So I found a little bit of a history for Hawkeye, a Hawkeye history here on Wikipedia. It's not very interesting, but, you know, it's good to give a background, I guess.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So the development for the series started in 2019. Now, this is pretty funny. The original agreement was that Jeremy Renner was going to be in a movie. He was going to star in a feature-length film. But then he agreed to do the series in place of that. So Kevin Feige was like, I got a series instead that actually you're not the star of, but you're kind of. And so kind of a bummer for him. Everyone else got their movie, even Black Widow, after she died. So yeah.
I think this bit was of a blow. The best thing they could have done for him, though.
No, I agree. I don't think anyone would have showed up for a movie about Hawkeye.
I mean, I would have, but I don't know that I
would
have.
And we
would have
reviewed it.
But the prospect of a series with him in it makes much more sense than a full-fledged movie.
Yeah, I agree. And we'll get into why I think that works better. But the series was announced in July 2019. They said the series would follow Barton as he teaches Bishop to be a, quote, superhero without superpowers, and would explore more of Barton's time as the vigilante Ronin that was first established in Avengers Endgame. Which was a great setup. Like
a good decision. That was a very good decision, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, out of all of the Marvel shows that came out last year, I guess now, I think this one is the one that had the best, like,
setup.
Setup and, like, reason to watch. Like, you know what you're getting going in. With the other ones, it's like, I don't know what this is going to be going in.
Yeah.
And it's only like when you kind of get a couple episodes in when you kind of start to figure it out. So this was a very more traditional approach to a TV show than the other three. One thing that I didn't know was that, so Hailee Steinfeld was offered the role in September 2021, but it was reported that she wouldn't be able to accept because she has... or had, I guess, a non-compete clause with Apple TV Plus for the show Dickinson, where she plays Emily Dickinson.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, like, I don't know why, but I guess since she was allowed to do it and they announced she was cast in December 2020, I guess that's what Marvel influence does, you know? They can even bypass the non-compete clauses. Apple TV, they did all they could to get her to stay, and even that couldn't keep her away. And to all a good night. But yeah, that's all I really found on the history. There's not really much.
Interesting. Well.
They just kind of, they made it.
Sure.
They made the show. And it got released. Also, well, one thing. This isn't even a spoiler. Because Florence Pugh was announced. And I feel like everyone acted like when she showed up, it was a surprise. And she was announced in 2020 that she would be in the movie.
And then,
or the show.
And then they set it up at the end of Black Widow, or
they did.
Was
You're
it
right.
At the end of Shang-Chi?
No, it was end credits. Black Widow.
Okay, I get it all mixed up. Too many end credit sequences.
Too many end credits. Too many reviews.
Yeah. So they said it. I mean, it was obvious that she was going to be in this show.
Yeah. Let's get into our review then. So we're going to go all spoilers in this review because not really anyone's going to listen to a review of a show at six episodes
that they haven't seen.
So we haven't done any spoilers up to this point, but going forward, we will be spoiling Hawkeye. So if you want to not have it spoiled, then pause the episode here. For this show, what was your expectations going in? Because we both are self-professed not Hawkeye fans, to say the least.
So I liked Hawkeye more when I was younger and watched like the Avengers for the first time. I don't know, like, he was a lot cooler in the first movie and stuff, and I feel like as it kind of went on, his role deteriorated a little bit. He wasn't as cool as he used to be. So, like, he's never really, like, I don't dislike him. Like, I don't dislike any of the Avengers, except maybe Thor.
Wow, hot take.
I know, that's my hottest take of the hot takes.
It is a hot take. I'm sure you have hotter.
I just don't like Thor. But Hawkeye is probably he's in a lower tier of my like favorite OG
tier.
Avengers. And so I wasn't like overly excited for this series. I was definitely interested in it. I didn't watch it as it was coming out. I kind of just like didn't ever start it. And then I just didn't ever get around to it. And then it was this last week and was like, oh.
And now you've never watched it. You know, you're just kind of on here. It's like, I've never
seen
it.
Didn't even watch it. No, watched it all in one day, which was definitely the first time I've
done that.
Different
than what I did, too.
Well, yeah.
Like,
and
we both did different things, yeah.
That was the first time I did that with one of these Marvel series is prior to this, I was watching it every week the day it came out or the day after it came out. So this was the first time that I binge watched it, which definitely gave me a different sort of experience with it, which I think helped me come out more on the positive side because I was very like immersed in it and didn't have as much time to like break things apart after each episode. But yeah, I didn't have super high expectations. Obviously, like, I knew Hailee Steinfeld was in it, and I love her, so I was like, great. But I thought that it was good.
Yeah, I guess similar expectations. I was excited it was set at Christmas, because obviously this came out during Christmas, and so it's like, I don't know, a cool thing to have a Marvel Christmas movie that's not Iron Man 3 or show, I guess. But I didn't really, I mean, I didn't, like, I don't like Hawkeye that much. And I wasn't aware of how much, I wasn't really aware of anything beyond, like, he was kind of training this girl and I didn't really know what her deal was. So I guess I just, like, I don't know. I didn't have really any expectation going in. And I didn't watch it like the other three, where the other three I definitely watched either, like, the day or the day after they came out each episode. Because I guess we'll get into this probably later, but for the other three shows that came out last year for Marvel, that not What If, they were a lot, the discourse was a lot more the day they were released, you know? It was a lot more updated, and you had to kind of keep watching every episode to stay up to date with what people were talking about online. But for this one, it was a lot more laid back, I guess, for lack of a better word. And so I did watch these relatively when they came out, but I think I watched the first two maybe like 5 days after they came out, and then maybe I waited like 2 weeks and I watched more another two, and then the last two were closer to when their release date was. It was a little more staggered, I guess. So it was a little bit more like a show than you, but it wasn't like the other three where I was watching every week consistently and interacting or seeing people talk about every episode as they came out. And it was interesting because this is like the opposite of how I felt with WandaVision, where with WandaVision, I really liked it at the beginning, and as it went, I felt like it kind of lost steam. For this one, I thought it actually took a little while to get going. So like the first two episodes, when I watched those in one sitting, I was not as into it. And then as I watched more and as the story progressed, I got more invested in the story, especially in the last two episodes. So it was a different experience. But because of the fact that I liked the last two episodes, like, and it got better, I thought, as it went, I did come out liking it quite a bit. I mean, relative to like how like this isn't my favorite kind of show in the first place,
right?
Like the style, but I did enjoy it. I thought it had a tone that kept it, it felt like it was apart not only from the other three shows, but even apart from the other Marvel stuff that they've done in the past. And so I really enjoyed that, like I said, especially as it went. And I was, I guess I would say, like, pleasantly surprised, because I didn't love it, but it was like a very enjoyable show, which is different than how I felt with any of the other three shows that they've done.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Yeah, I guess with the tone, is that, like, how did you feel about the, because the tone is a lot different, I think. Like, I think a lot of people were, even at the beginning, were negatively comparing it to a Disney Channel show, which I don't agree with, but I can see, like, what they were saying, maybe if they had expected, like, Loki going in, you know?
Yeah, I really liked the tone of it. I liked that it still included some of the more dramatic elements of post-blip kind of recovery and how that affected.
Thanos was right. that was a very dark, randomly dark moment.
Yeah. But, like, there were a lot of kind of heavier emotional elements under all the rest of the stuff. I was very satisfied with it being less dramatic, though, because, like we've talked about 100 billion times, we have so much Marvel fatigue at this point that, like, I don't need another Loki show right now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need another show that is so massive in scale that I'm, like, trying to have to consume every single piece of information. Like, oh, what is happening? And how is this going to connect to all the future of the MCU? Because, like, with WandaVision and Loki and Falcon and Winter Soldier, those all were those kind of shows where it was like, we're setting everything up for the future of the MCU with these shows. You have to hang on to every single thing. But with this, it felt like its own kind of bubble, like little pocket in it, where you do have things that are being set up for later. Obviously, Kate Bishop is being set up for Young Avengers, and then we have Kingpin, of course, where, you know, Daredevil was brought in to the MCU as well through No Way Home. So we have all these little tidbits that are sort of coming in, but it's not like the expansion of the multiverse and how all these things are gonna connect. Like, it just, my mind was very loose and free, and I didn't feel like I had to think, and I felt like I could just sit down and watch the show. And that was the first time in the Marvel live action shows that I have felt like I could just watch it without having to like dissect aspects of the show.
Yeah, I totally agree. Even with the movies, like this, maybe it's because it's Hawkeye, but this felt a lot more like a Phase 2 Marvel vibe, where it's like you had Phase 1 where it's setting up the characters, and Phase 2 expands the world, but it's still very much set in either New York or wherever they are one little place and dealing with this one story. And there's not much... Like, there is stuff that you see that's like, obviously this is going to be showing up later, but it's not something that you have to worry about in the moment. So even with the movies that have come out this year, like, I mean, Black Widow, that's actually one reason I like Black Widow, because I thought that it was kind of like that, where I didn't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
But Shang-Chi is obviously a whole new world, and we know this character is going to be a big part of later movies. Eternals is the same thing on an even bigger scale. There's a lot of, they're trying to do in that movie. And then No Way Home is like basically the epitome of that, where it's like literally everything that we have seen almost is like informing this one movie. And it's only going to get more like that from here with the multiverse and with all this, the Doctor Strange and everything like that looks like insane. And so I definitely agree that this felt very refreshing and kind of what I would actually prefer these shows to be, even though I like some of these other shows better, as we'll get into maybe later with like the rankings. But this is what I would prefer these shows to be, where they work on developing the characters and less on expanding the world, I guess, because I think it leaned a lot less on the big action set pieces.
Yeah.
And it focused a lot more on character development, especially as it went, which I really appreciated. And that's what a TV show is good at, is developing characters and giving the audience a relationship with them. A TV show isn't really meant, or like the format of TV was never intended to be these big cinematic events, because they're not movies. Yeah. And I think that's what some of the other shows maybe didn't have, is that they felt like they were just long form movies, where this actually felt like what I would rather have in a TV show, if that makes sense. So I really enjoyed it. There were issues. I had one of the main issues was like there was a lot of, especially as the show went, like either changing conflicts or antagonists. Mm-hmm. Obviously you have Florence Pugh being introduced like halfway through, and then she's all of a sudden like a very big antagonist. And then you have the other group of people, I forgot their names, but like, and then you have Kingpin,
the tracksuit guys,
the tracksuit guys. And then you find out that actually that's Kingpin. Also the mom is involved. So a lot of that actually didn't work as much for me, especially the tracksuit people. I thought their whole plot like was very boring to me. I didn't like that at all. And if I was in charge of Marvel, if I was like writing the show, I guess I would have rather had Florence Pugh be the main villain from the start, because I think obviously all the scenes with her are like the best scenes in the show, or some of the best scenes in the show. Just like Black Widow, she kind of just like steals every scene that she's in. And so I would have personally, and I think it's also good too, because she has an emotional connection with the characters, and the other tracksuit people feel so disconnected.
Yeah, I think it's hard characters. Because obviously that, which is, I would say, some of the problems we have with the other Marvel shows, is something they're using to set up the future of Marvel instead of it applying to the current show. So,
are you saying the tracksuits?
Yeah. So they had to introduce...
Yeah, because they are setting up a show with her, too.
Yeah, so they had to introduce her somehow. And then they also had to introduce Kingpin, because they're bringing Kingpin and Daredevil into the MCU.
Yeah.
So I think that's hard, because I agree. I think that that plot line worked in a way, tying it into Ronan. But I also think it kind of changed some
dragged
of the
a bit,
yeah, dragged a little bit. It changed some of the pacing, the tone, like you mentioned. But it's also like, yeah, I would have preferred Florence Pugh to also be the main antagonist, but like they have to set it up for, so you have to just like, yeah. I don't know. It's hard because you have to take that into account to be like, I'm frustrated with it, but that's Marvel is like,
yeah, right.
They're always thinking, you know, end game. They're thinking what comes next. And literally,
no
we...
pun intended. Yeah.
Yeah. No, no. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the pun was intended, but
okay. Okay.
I definitely intended
good.
It.
I like it. Very good.
But yeah, I agree. That was also my biggest issue with the show.
Yeah, and it feels like if it's only one issue, it shouldn't, like, but I feel like it definitely permeates every episode too. So it's like something that's like a through line. Overall, like I said, I did enjoy it. I think my favorite aspect was definitely the dynamic between Kate and Hawkeye. I think that their dynamic really was like the heart of the show, obviously.
Yeah.
And is the reason why I kept wanting to watch, because I mean, the first episode is for me was pretty rough because it's all leading up until that point. And so it's almost like you have the show but without that main engine.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I got to the second episode, even though the second episode I thought wasn't as strong, that's when the show started kind of slowly turning, because then they're in place, and once they're moving, then I think the show is good, because like their dynamic really makes everything click.
Yeah, I think that they had some of the best dialogue sequences that I've liked out of all the Marvel shows, because they felt very natural. Like, it didn't feel like they were having to talk to move a story forward, because I feel like when you look at, like, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, as much as I love Bucky and Falcon, like, a lot of their dialogue was simply to move the plot forward and, like, establish new things and where the world is at. But I feel like with this, with Kate and Clint, a lot of their dialogue was just very natural. It made a lot of sense for their, you know, sort of mentor-mentee relationship. Yeah, I thought they were really quippy and funny. It made me laugh a lot. I thought they had a really good dynamic.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, like I said, that's what I kept me watching. It's actually what made me even more interested in the action, which was the thing I was most worried about, because I've never really liked Hawkeye, like, fighting. You know, especially because, like, when you put him side by side with the other Avengers, you're kind of setting yourself up for failure, which they do like poke fun at that too throughout the show. But because it's all either hand to hand combat or grounded combat, I thought that the action worked a lot better in this scene, especially when you had them together and you have their dynamic pushing the action scenes forward. What did you think about the action, like, in the trick arrows, too? Because that's a very big, big thing.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. Obviously, you know, Marvel sucks at filming combat sequences.
Action scenes, they're very bad.
That's been my biggest complaint this year, I think, for all Marvel content. I thought that it was able to be side, you know, because they are shooting arrows... Some of that was a little bit better in this, because they have to get wide frames of the bow and arrow and the arrow hitting and flying through the air. So it solves a lot of my problems that I have when they're just doing punching scenes, you know, because they're not right up close with the person. So it has to be a wider shot.
They got to get the whole bow.
I did think the concept of the trick arrows was cool, because a lot of the Marvel shows... Obviously, if there is some kind of power outside of hand-to-hand combat, it's usually like something blowing up, or it's, you know, Iron Man shooting a blaster, or Shang-Chi with the Ten Rings, you know. They're things that are not super exciting, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, they are, but they're basic stuff. I felt like
basically
this was...
like Smash Brothers, like final smashes, like explosion, like big punch.
Yeah, like you always know what you're getting, but with the trick arrows, I thought it was kind of fun because you don't know what the trick is, and so they do it, and you're kind of like, ooh, like goo is exploding everywhere. How fun!
And it helped show more of that light tone, I think, and convey that, because. You even have the final climax, which in I mean, Loki's different, but I think even that was an issue if we're in a different way. All three of the other shows, and really a lot of Marvel content, has problems with the climactic scene because it's like they go so big.
Yeah.
And it's just incoherent. But with this one, I think because of the lighter tone, they were able to make it a lot more fun. And I had a lot of fun with the final climax, even though there are like some things that maybe like, oh, that doesn't make sense. But like, it's fun watching them all like,
they team
up on the ice rink, getting all the bad guys. You have Jack fighting with his sword.
It's kind of the first, I'm trying to even remember what the final climax of Falcon and the Winter Soldier was. I was going to say, I can't remember fight. If this is, I don't know if this is true, but this is kind of the first, because I can't remember that one, where they obviously aren't using massive things. Like, obviously the arrows are kind of trick arrows and stuff and do kind of crazy, wacky things. But most of it is, like, the other people are just shooting guns, and they're just shooting arrows. Like, it's very low-key in general. Like, even
grounded,
though, like, it is lighthearted, there's also, like, not a lot of room for doing these massive things, which I think was a major benefit to them, because I would have disliked this show a lot more if it had somehow gone into that sort of realm, I guess, of being more over the top.
Changing the tone almost, because like it sets the stakes up pretty early on, and I think they get pretty close to breaking that when they introduce Kingpin. I think his introduction actually maybe even wasn't needed. Like you said, I know they need to tease future things, but I think him almost tipped the scales into like getting too wide scale. I guess I said scale twice there, but you know. But I think it was managed to stay relatively small enough that I was still able to enjoy the final episode. Probably really the most of any of the final episodes of the 2021 series. And I thought that it really set up the future in a really good way, because you have them going to the ranch, and it made it not explicitly clear, like, if is she just going to be the Hawkeye from now on? Is he going to be in later Marvel properties? I'm sure that's also like contract stuff, because like they're not committed to one thing. I did like how it left it a little bit more open-ended rather than like it was trying to set up the next things. So, like WandaVision is trying to set up, okay, she's here for Doctor Strange to find her, or Falcon Winter Soldier, now he's got the shield, which is the whole reason why we made the show. Or Loki, now the multiverse is broken.
Yeah, now I remember the final climax of Falcon Soldier. Yeah. Well, it all came back to me.
It all came back with that.
I was right. But yeah. I was right. This was the first one that was Loki. Yeah, okay.
Loki. But yeah, I think that it felt, again, more like a TV show where it's not like just set out to like, okay, this is the point of the show and this is why we're making it. It just was a lot more natural, like we've said a couple times in this review. So I really appreciated a lot of that. Even though I did have problems with it, it wasn't a perfect show. It was maybe the one I like enjoyed the most on just like a fun level. Yeah. And I think that works well for the Christmas element. I don't know. You don't want to watch, like, I mean, I know a lot of people like Die Hard at Christmas, but that's not what I want to watch at Christmas. Mm. Like, I'm not into that.
I
don't want that.
That them setting this at Christmas was one of the best choices they could have possibly made for this show.
Yeah, it was great.
Because it added such a fresh element to it that was like, you had all the pretty lights and the tree and it's the holiday season. But the music that they used, like,
music has been good in a lot of these shows, gotta say.
But like, they used Christmas music. Like,
no, they did.
They're doing like this dramatic scene, and it's freaking like Nutcracker or Sugar Plum Fairy or something playing in the background, or Carol of the Bells, like, but like a strings version that's like intense. And I was like, dude, this is awesome, because normally, but like, I love the normal music that they use and the score. I thought like the Loki score was so good.
The Loki score is very good.
But it's so interesting to sit there and they're like doing a normal Marvel thing to Christmas music, and you're like, what? Like, this is so cool. Yeah. And I really liked that part of it.
Yeah, I think that brings up a good point, too, because a lot of Marvel shows obviously are made in, like, a lab with green screen and not real sets and everything. And so I feel like a lot of things that Marvel makes are not connected to the real world in, like, what when it is set. Like, we know the year, but, like, when is Falcon and the Winter Soldier set? Is it, like, late fall? Is this almost summer? Is it winter? Like, there's not really ever a sense of time, which I think a lot of other movies, that is a thing that sets you in a world, is having a sense of place and time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it really, really grounds it.
Yeah, and, like, with this, be setting it at Christmas forces them, it's like, okay, we're in New York, Rockefeller Center a lot of the time, Christmas time, it's snowing, and then this is the music that reminds you we're in Christmas. And so it really helps place you in the world and, like you said, grounds it rather than it feeling like, I mean, obviously a lot of this was CGI, but rather than it feeling like it's just like we're on a green screen and then just putting like a random background of the city. Mm-hmm. And like this could be any time. It's just a random sun sky, you know?
Well, and I think it really establishes the main theme of this is like family relationships. The main theme of this show is, you know, we have Florence Pugh, you know, Yelena's grieving the loss of her sister. And then we also have Clint saw Natasha as a sister, essentially. And then he's trying to get with his family. And then he becomes this like father figure to Kate because Kate doesn't have a father. And it's just
when they went home, man, when they went to their house at the end, that was and they had the dog. That was a great moment.
Well, and because I watched this with Zach and Kristen, and one thing that Kristen mentioned while we were watching it, and I thought as well, is it's really nice to see him having this relationship with his wife, too. Because really, we don't get a lot of those kind of relationships in these movies, like maybe Pepper and Tony, but that's still kind of, I don't know.
Not really well,
but it's nice to see that like he's calling her and including her, and I think it elevates him as a character and gives him a lot more depth that he should have been given in the first place. That I think they really missed the mark on that.
Because he could have been almost like the audience surrogate, where like we can't relate to Thor or like any. So like he is really the one that we can relate to. And I think they were trying to do that with like the farm scene in Avengers Age of Ultron. But like that is a very isolated scene in a movie that has a lot of other stuff going on. But we didn't really know what he was about as a character, you know? Yeah. And I think that really did help. And it did help remind us of like the stakes. Like he's trying to get back home for Christmas. That's what he really cares about right now, is getting to his family.
Well, and like that scene where his son is on the phone and he can't hear him.
Oh, man.
Like, it's just like I just was like, kept thinking, I can't believe we got all this time. I mean, because I've never really been a big fan of Hawkeye. And I think this is why, is because like, we got all this time with Steve and we got all this time with all these other characters.
Yeah.
And we never got that with Clint. And then we're watching him with that and then with the LARPers and all this stuff. And you're like, he's actually a fine guy. Like, where did he come from? And I don't know. It kind of makes me mad at Marvel in a way. And I get that, like, Hawkeye isn't as marketable as Captain America.
Yeah, which they get into. Again, they
pull fun at that. Which they do. Yeah. And it's like, they're very self-aware of it. But it's like, they could have made this sooner. And they could have made Black Widow sooner. And that, I think, is where my main frustration comes from. Is like, there's a lot of stuff that we could have had that we never got the chance. So
Like, did we need Iron Man 3? Was that a necessary addition to the canon?
No. But I will say, it's kind of funny at the same time, though, because before this came out, it's like, why do we need Hawkeye show? Like, why do we need this? But again, it's because they never gave us any of Hawkeye before. So it's like, why are we doing this now?
And it's in the contract.
But
you know,
now watching it, I'm, you know, I'm thankful that it happened, and I'm glad that I can look at it and be like, yeah, this should have been made, but it should have been made sooner. But I'm glad that it did get made and like was actually put out and stuff.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Moving us into the larger picture then, with the general response to this show, I think it's been pretty positive. I mean, I haven't like really got a touch on everything, but it's really interesting to me how really I feel like with each show that they've released, What If aside, really just talking about the live action shows right now, the conversation has lessened as the show has gone on. I think for this one especially, having Spider-Man come out when this one came out was really a big issue, and also with like WandaVision, that was the first Marvel thing to come out in a long time. So there's other stuff working against it, but it's just interesting to me, like WandaVision obviously was a huge thing, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Loki were like, I saw a couple things at the beginning, and then this, I really saw nothing online. Like, again, I didn't watch everything the day of, and I wasn't spoiled really anything besides Florence Pugh, which that wasn't a spoiler because I knew she was in the show. Sure. So.
Okay, so I obviously didn't watch this at all when it was coming out. So by the time I watched it, the whole show had been out. That, like, by the time I watched the first episode.
Yeah, and for a while, too. Like, a couple
the
days.
The only spoilers that I saw her, Haley Steinfeld in the black tuxedo, which was very, very spoiler. Hot, by the way. and then I saw on TikTok the frame from the climax where Clint was kneeling in front of Yelena.
Which really isn't a spoiler. Like, I mean, you know they're going to fight.
Because you know they're going to fight. So that was not a spoiler that much. But those were the only two things I even saw from the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at all. I didn't see any other clips. And, like, did pop up on my For You page. And, you know, I swiped it pretty quick because it would say, like, Hawkeye spoilers. But, yeah, on Twitter, anything like that, I didn't see almost anything about this show. Whereas, like, WandaVision, it was like, if you didn't wake up and watch it and you open Twitter, you're done. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And it could be too, like, this obviously is the low, like you said, the lowest stakes of all these shows, which then means there's the less stuff to
discuss.
Least
amount
each
of things
week.
To spoil. Yeah. Too.
I mean, who's going to be like, man, let's do a 10-minute discussion on that LARPing scene. That was a why. That was crazy stuff. Like, there's not like any of that stuff here. Even the Kingpin reveal is, like, very minor in terms of a reveal. Like, he's in it for probably, like, a total of 5 minutes at the most.
Sure.
But it's just interesting how, at least normal, I guess, this has started to seem now. Where, like, this is just what happens is Marvel shows come out every few months and people watch them and then that's it. Where I think WandaVision and even a little bit Falcon Winter Soldier felt more novel, I guess. Where it was like, wow, we have these longer form content with these big characters and it's all this, it's like what we like in the, it's like a movie, but on our TVs, which the show is, but I don't know. Like, it's just funny how fast people just adjust. Like, oh yeah, this is what it is now. This is just, we just do the shows too.
Yeah.
Which,
you're totally
right. That's Marvel's grip on people. It's like, oh, okay, now we watch the shows. And now it's every few weeks we get a show. I mean, we'll get into it, but next year we're getting just as many shows.
Well, this year now. Right?
This year. Jeez. Oh, yeah. You're right. You're right.
It's a new year.
I'm sure next year, too. You know, I'm sure it will be next year. But let's get into our ranking, then, of the four live-action shows that came out last year. Neither of us have watched What If. I probably will at some point, but
we'll see.
Was on my watch list. I feel like I have been hearing people saying, like, after seeing the Doctor Strange trailer, that at least the Doctor Strange episode will be important. So I'll watch that one. Maybe I'll try to watch them all. There's not a ton. Our rankings here, I'm pretty sure we're going to have the same 1 and 4. And so what is your...
Why don't you go... Can you do your 4 first?
Yeah.
Because I haven't decided my ranking yet.
So at the bottom, we've got Falcon and the Winter Soldier. This was not my favorite show, definitely the most uneven, really has a lot of issues, not a great show. I liked some aspects, like Bucky. I did like their dynamic, obviously, but I don't think they explored it
we
nearly
love
enough.
Some boyfriends.
We do love boyfriends on Secondhand Film Critics, but I don't. They didn't explore it enough, and I mean, they didn't do anything with that. But and also similar to Hawkeye, the villains or like the main like conflict was terrible. So that's number four. Number two and three are tough because they are like really similar for me for different reasons. But number three, I'm gonna put Hawkeye. Like I said, I really do like this show. I have the pacing issues, the conflict issues. But like I said, I like the main thing. And if this is the tone they would take for a lot more of these shows going forward, I would appreciate that. Because I think this is what I would rather these shows be. And then every now and then have a big one rather than the other way around where they're all big and then this little one. Yeah, it's just a nice show. And I think that's fun. So then number two, I'm putting WandaVision. Like I said, it's like the opposite of Hawkeye, where the beginning I liked, ending I didn't like, and then Hawkeye was the opposite. But with WandaVision, it's really, I mean, obviously it's a great show in the design, set design and a lot of really great early episodes. But this is really almost nostalgia for me, which feels weird to say because it was this last year. But this was such like a cool time online, I think, where it was just about a year of the pandemic. And it was like the first thing people or anyone really had to get excited about in a really long time. Everyone was talking about it on TikTok or Twitter. I don't know. It just felt like a really cool time of everyone just like talking about the same thing and being excited about the same thing. And I think that I'll always like think when I think of that show, like go right back to that time in history, you know? And I think that more than anything is why it's higher for me, just because I like the memories I have associated with the show more than maybe the show as a whole itself. And then at the top is Loki. We did a review on this one as well as WandaVision. This one is easily the best one for me. This wasn't even a question. Really, I mean, it's my favorite thing Marvel did this year, with the shows and the movies. Probably in a while, the most creative thing they've done visually, musically, even story-wise. I think this is a very interesting show with a lot of different things that happen, not easy to predict, and it does a good job of setting up future Marvel properties without feeling like it's all just exposition for the next show, like you're watching an ad for the next thing coming out. So, and it does that thing again where like it takes a character we like but didn't have a lot of backstory on, or some backstory, not a ton, and then makes us like him even more, I guess, in this case. So yeah, those are my rankings with Loki, then WandaVision, Hawkeye, and then lower Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, so my fourth is Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And yeah, I feel the same way. I liked a lot of aspects of it. But at the same time, there were things that was like the main story, which we didn't even do an episode on this.
No, yeah.
But there was just like a lot of issues, which it sounded like most of the plot issues stemmed from having to do rewrites because of COVID.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Wow, yeah.
And having a plot that was too similar to a worldwide pandemic, which now doesn't make any sense that even would have been a plot anyway.
They should.
But it seems like that screwed up a lot of their stuff. And I think that most of the conflict was just like really not good. But some of the like dynamic between Bucky and Sam were good. Some of the fight sequences were pretty cool. But yeah, so that one, like, I liked it. Like, I enjoyed watching it. I'm never going to rewatch it. And I probably,
or really think about it again. I mean, you forgot the climax.
I so literally forgot the entire climax. I forgot how the show ended. I only remember all the Bucky and Sam.
It ended with Sam in the most ugly suit of all time.
I remember the scene of them on the boat together, and then when they're the
scenes both throwing. Plural. Yes.
I remember when they're just like throwing the shield with each other.
That's fun.
Anyway, and then number three for me is WandaVision, because that climax just really destroyed that show for me.
It really
was
a bad climax.
That final episode ruined that whole show for me. I'm sorry. It just did.
It was very bad. Probably Falcon and Winter Soldier is obviously the worst, but that was like the worst
in
terms of
like.
It was
so rushed. It was such a good, the first half of the show, incredible. But yeah, it just went downhill. Wasn't a fan of some of the other kind of twists they pulled. But it is what it is. I still liked it. I agree with everything you said about it being like a cultural moment.
A cultural touchstone.
A cultural touchstone, man. It should be in the history books. Okay, so I think Hawkeye will be my number two, and then Loki is my number one. But it's hard because they're like completely different shows.
They're really like not even the same genre.
No, which is, it makes it hard because I like them both for entirely different reasons. I think that Loki is like such a well-crafted show, and like it looks beautiful. The music is beautiful. The ending is so complicated, though, and I still have no idea what is happening with the multiverse. I don't understand it at all. And that, like, is why I'm torn between Hawkeye and Loki, because I came away from Loki being, like, very overwhelmed and confused. But, like, when I finished Hawkeye, I was like,
what a
nice time. so I don't know if I can, I say that they tie for one? Can I like have them both be my favorite?
Why not? They're all our favorites.
They're just so different. Yeah. It's like, it's too hard to compare them because they're like literally opposite ends of the spectrum. Like one is magic and crazy and one is just like, let's hang out. But those definitely, I do think Loki is the better crafted show, like just production wise and the way that it was made. But obviously it's much more expansive anyway in production, and like they're using crazy massive sets and stuff. But I appreciated how grounded Hawkeye was and like fun.
Yeah. Like you said, they're so different. I think that it was a pretty good year for Marvel last year with their shows. Like there was some bumpy spots, but overall, like if I had to compare their, I mean, I know you really like Spider-Man, but I think like even if you have to compare the output overall of shows to movies, I think I gotta pick the shows. I mean, there's it's 4-4, and the shows I think were all more consistently good than the movies.
I agree.
So
I think it's a really strong start. Obviously, it's a lot of content, and we're going to continue having loads and loads of content, which we can get into now, but it just is, like, crazy. But I definitely think this was a very strong way to start off Marvel shows.
I agree, and I think it was good starting off with those recognizable characters before moving into this year, which is going to have all new characters except for the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special, which I'm very excited for, set between Thor 4 and Guardians of the Galaxy. So that got three. So that's going to be great. But these four shows, I think, actually all can be drawn to like the same comparisons as the other ones. So we have Moon Knight, which is Oscar Isaac and Ethan Hawke.
I am so excited. This is going to be great. Out of all the ones this next year, this is the one I am most excited for.
Yeah, I think this is going to be probably the most similar to Falcon and the Winter Soldier, because it's, I think, going to be the darkest, or like, I don't know, grittiest, I guess you could say, and hopefully have boyfriend content. Maybe.
It's gotta happen. I'm ready for it. I was ready for Kate Bishop and Yelena girlfriend content to
I don't know. I don't know if it came through there.
No,
I'm not sure.
The fight
if we
scene
got
was
that.
Good between them, but maybe in the
didn't
future.
Didn't get the vibe in that.
Maybe in the future.
Yeah, maybe it's coming up. Okay, then we have She-Hulk, which is, none of these have dates, by the way, it's just this year. She-Hulk is going to be 10 30-minute episodes as opposed to like the 650. And so I think that this is going to be probably the most like WandaVision, where it's the shorter form content, but longer.
I'm excited for that one too.
More episodes. Yeah, I think that it's going to be an interesting one. The logo is terrible, but
it's,
you know, logos
so
aren't everything. The Hawkeye logo was also awful. One of the worst.
Yeah,
so it doesn't mean anything. Secret Invasion, which I'm actually pretty excited for this one. It's going to be Samuel L. Jackson. And it's going to be like the Skrulls, I guess, invade Earth, or they're invading Earth. So that could be a lot of fun stuff, I guess. Olivia Colman's going to be in this. So always love to see her. I don't know. I'm going to probably have to rewatch Captain Marvel before this, which isn't going to be as exciting for me, but it's fine.
Well, you're going to have to rewatch it anyway for the Marvels.
Yeah, I'm thinking this is probably going to be most like Loki, because it's, I mean, dealing with more like alien or science fiction stuff, you know. I don't know. I'm trying to make content here. And then lastly, we have Miss Marvel, which is going to like inform the Marvels movie. Mm. This and then I think this is gonna maybe be the most like Hawkeye because it's like a younger protagonist who is again looking up to Carol Danvers, whereas sure, like yeah. Kate Bishop was looking up to Hawkeye. So it might be a similar vibe, you know. And so these three shows are all, I mean, I guess Secret Invasion has Samuel L. Jackson, but pretty much all like new characters or new stories that we haven't seen, which the other four were all ones we'd already seen
mm-hmm.
or people we'd already seen. So it's going to be similar, but also I think very different. So I'm just interested to see what the reaction is to these.
Yeah, I'm going to watch all of them.
Yeah, they'll be watched. Probably most of them will get two, at least two will get reviews, you know.
Yeah,
we'll do the holiday special in our Christmas
yeah,
movies.
Yeah, and we'll probably do maybe
Moon Knight, and then we'll see what the conversation
is.
We'll
see what happens.
We'll test the water.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, man.
I will say, though, between now in each of these, not Loki, but in WandaVision and Falcon and the Winter Soldier and Hawkeye, we now have gotten four of the Young Avengers. So that is something that has not been talked about as much, I think, but is eventually coming down the line. And I am excited for that. Like, if I'm looking forward, apart from Ant-Man, Quantumania, I am looking forward into the future, the Young Avengers. Because I think with the characters we have now that have already been presented to us, I think that is going to be very good.
Yeah, I think next year will be pretty good. Because, I mean, we have Thor 4. Which I think is going to be good. And then we also have, what's the other one that I can't think of? There's
Doctor
too many
Strange.
Marvel movies. Doctor Strange, yes. The one we just saw the trailer for. I think
Are
that one will be good, too.
Are those the only two movies next year?
No, there's got to be more. Okay. There's got to be more.
I was gonna say,
there's got to
be
at least
that
three.
That cannot be.
Okay, Doctor apparently Strange. We're getting Black Panther 2.
I'm not sure if that's happening
anymore. That's got to get pushed. So maybe we won't. Maybe if that's like that was going to be the big one at the end of the year, maybe they just won't do one.
So maybe we'll only get two.
Well, there is going to be, I'm assuming, I mean, there's going to be Avatar 2 at the end of next year, which is going to be big. So maybe they'll pull back for that. I don't know.
Could be exciting.
Yeah, but Black Panther 2 is definitely getting pushed. I could guarantee that right now. Getting into our question of the week from this week, then, what was your favorite Disney Plus Marvel show from 2021? So this can include What If you watched that and that was your favorite one, but it also can obviously include the other four that we talked about, the live action ones. Let us know on any of our social medias, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. So Secondhand Film Critics will be there. Our website, which we did now post a blog post. We have one. Maybe two, so you can answer the question on there on the contact page. Yeah, let us know, and then we'll read out our answers like we did at the beginning of this episode in the next episode to that. So that's exciting. We already talked about our next episode, but again, what is our next episode next week?
We will be doing our 2021 recap, where we tell you our current list of our top 10 movies. Obviously, we have plenty more to go before awards season, but we'll share our top 10 lists as of when we record the episode. We'll talk about some other favorites that we watched throughout the year, some things we enjoyed, and then we'll be giving our vision for 2022, some things we'll be doing on the pod, and some 2022 movies we're looking forward to watching. Yeah. So we've got, that'll be a fun episode.
One of my favorite episodes we do, definitely. Mm-hmm. I like those.
And we'll
Always
let you know, we'll go back and listen to our episode from this last year,
yes.
And we'll let you know how many of those movies we were looking forward to and whether or not they were letdowns or not.
I can't wait. I love listening back to the podcast. One of the best. No, I hate it, but it's going to be good. Great episode coming up. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Anything to say until then?
No, you know, I don't think I have anything else.
Well, thank you all for listening. And until next time, I'm Noah.
And I'm Kayla. And
we're your secondhand film critics.